Good evening, America, and good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to everyone listening across the planet. Welcome back to the Everyday Business Show. And we have a special show series on at the moment called Unwavered Success with Mel B. But just a quick reminder before we get on with the show that if you're listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch and Twitter now, please remember that we are monitoring your questions. And if you have any questions, please pop them into the comments. Don't forget that Payo is listening live and he can respond in real time and send you links and answer your questions as we do this show. Now, if you're seeing this show for the first time live, don't forget that you can catch up on previous shows by jumping onto our YouTube channel, by connecting with Mel and her team, and by watching Binge TV Networks USA, Hero Go TV Networks USA, and on the Tony TV channel app available on all Samsung, Roku, and LG smart TVs across the planet. Now, this has been a fabulous partnership with Mel, and we were laughing before we jumped on the show because each week, without any conversation, we end up wearing the same colors or similar colors. Now, I love this because what that usually means is that we are completely energetically and spiritually aligned. And it's my great privilege to work with Mel B. But before we get on with the show, I quickly want to tell you about Mel B, who is considered a change maker for the super conscious transformation of human beings across the planet. She is our in-demand coach, executive mentor, and she's changing and transforming lives across the planet as we speak. Now, she partners with empathpreneurs, and we've talked briefly about what an empathpreneur is in previous shows, and we'll touch base with that again on the show today. And she helps untangle their mind web so that they feel unwavered confidence to accomplish the things that they feel driven to accomplish and create a bigger impact on our world. So in the first episode, we talked about ego and superconscious and their alignment as our spiritual team. We talked about values and why they matter. And we talked about our belief system and the differences between perspective, paradigm, and quantum shift. We spoke a little bit about quantum healing, and we also spoke about deep, that's a new word, deep belief hacking. See, my brain is moving so fast that it often combines words that are meant to be two words into one word. My husband calls it Tonyisms. I just think it's my brain working too fast for my mouth. Okay, in episode two, we talked about quantum healing in much more depth and how you can facilitate super conscious healing and unravel that mind web and free us of some of the fears that we have around things like being judged. We also outlined where this begins in your life, from the age in which it begins, which is an important consideration. And today's show, we're going to continue and talk about how healing works, manifestation, and the universal laws. Now, as regular listeners of the show, you will know that this is my favorite space to talk about. And the fact that I get to talk with Mel B on this subject is amazing. So good afternoon, Mel. Welcome back to the show. How are you, my dear? I know you're busy. Last night, she was so busy coaching people across the planet that she struggled to get our talking points to us today so that we have the show on the same track. But I'm so glad that she does what she does, because that's me. That means that she's on her own life path and creating the impact that she knows she was always meant to create. Hi, Mel. Welcome back.
Hi, darling. How are you? Yes, I'm very busy at the moment as people are prepping and getting all their stuff sorted out for the Christmas rush. People are addressing some stuff that's going on in the world and preparing for family dynamics. So yeah, and a little bit or a lot bit prepping for 2022, which is my favorite thing.
Yes, There's lots of, I don't know about you, Mel, but I'm hearing lots and lots and lots of conversations and lots of people talking about 2022, from spiritual awareness to business growth to personal transformation. So it actually feels like it's being set up as a monumental turning point for lots of people. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's time. I think it feels there's a lot of statements and views that consciousness has happened, the shift has happened, the awakening, all those things are happening. And I think a lot of people are finally feeling optimistic. We've had some big shifts happen this year, and I think everybody's gearing up for a magnificent 22. I've just booked my first retreat for the 22nd of the 2nd of the 22nd. I feel a lot of us are going to be hosting events on that date. So there's a lot of stuff already preparing for 2022.
That's very exciting. I'm going to ask you about that at another stage. But on to our show today. We want to talk about the universal laws. Now, I've talked with many interviewees about the universal laws. And for every person, there's a unique spin on what that means to them. So the first one you want to talk about is the law of vibration, one of my favorites. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so I guess I want to just kind of back up a little bit and talk about that law of manifesting. And, you know, there's manifesting coaches out there and all that sort of thing. So what I like to do is bring awareness that is only one of many laws. And, you know, there's different thoughts. Some say there's 7, some say there's 12, some say there's 13, and some say there's 20 laws. Whatever there is, there's stuff happening beyond our awareness. And the easiest way I help people to kind of grasp some of this stuff, which apparently is woo-woo, is gravity. We have no...
You know, there's a book. There's a book called The Magic of Woo-Woo. And every time you say woo-woo, that makes me think it's even more magical than I first thought. Sorry,
yeah, I like
back
that.
To the law of manifestation.
Yeah, and so there are laws happening, and that just because we can't see it like gravity, it doesn't mean. In fact, the principle of a law is it doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not, it's going to happen regardless of your awareness of it. So if this stuff is happening, then wouldn't it make sense to leverage it, to tap into it, to at least accept it? Because if we didn't accept the law of gravity and believe that it didn't exist, we'd be jumping off buildings and not walking away. So we need to kind of adjust the belief that just because all of science hasn't proven it in a way that it's tangible, although that's coming, and it is, the studies are showing it, but it's not tangible enough for many. So I'm going to go a little bit into what many consider to be spiritual woo, but that's fine. Think what you want of it. It works for me, so I'm happy to share my views.
It works
so,
for me too.
A lot of things I want to talk about you. I guess the first one that I want to share, and these are like the three most popular ones that I bring into my coaching and share with my clients. So the first one is law of vibration. So that is, I guess, the view that there's a single consciousness, or the other name for it is law of oneness, which is that all things manifest regardless of your spirituality. And we share a universe and we give off a frequency, a vibration, and that is repelled, attracts, draws in, all of those magnetic kind of terms. And we align with. So think of the old-fashioned dials on a radio. Some of our millennials might not even know what that means, but we would tune into a frequency. And when we adjust our frequency, we are tuning into different people, different things. All objects give off a frequency. And when we accept that,
they do.
Life gets a whole lot easier. So the easiest way of measuring, or I guess tangibly explaining, and this is where I laugh about this disparity between science and holistic, is MRI scanners. Like, you can't get more scientific than an MRI scanner. And what it does is it kind of sends, I think it's radio waves. I'll probably be corrected by the scientists, but I think it's something like radio waves. And they kind of disrupt the particles, protons maybe, within our body, and the rate that it takes them back to settle is gives us the density and the frequency and the contrast between different parts of our body. That's how an MRI scanner works. So if we think of that kind of concept of we are frequencing, just, you know, like ultrasonic levels here. And this is why we kind of tune into some people like, oh my God, I just feel like I can share all my stuff with you. Or there's other people you're like, do not even come near me. Their frequency is so opposite to where you're at, and you feel that disconnect. So the law of vibration is the first one I talk about. And the more we tune up to a higher frequency, to 528 bilineal beats and audio hertz, 528 is the frequency of love. So if we bring our frequency up out of the lower consciousness scale, we're going to only attract beautiful, loving harmony in return. That's where we kind of resonate with. So that's my first law. Any thoughts before I jump into the second one?
Oh, no, it's my favorite, actually, the law of vibration and energy and how it interacts and how it attracts. It's fabulous stuff. The next one, though, perpetual energy, is also fantastic. Mel, tell us about perpetual energy.
I've just thought of...
It's not the obvious.
Yes, I've just thought of a really beautiful one to explain our law of vibrations. We are tuned in by the same colors. It's just like, are you serious? You've done it again. That's us tuning into the same frequency. So that's a beautiful example. Some might call it, what's the word I'm looking for? A coincidence? It's actually a tuning of frequency.
Synchronicity, but there's no discussion between Mel and I about today what we were going to wear. We've just instinctively worn the same thing, and it gives me goosebumps, quite frankly, to know that. And it happens a lot when Mel and I are working together, and that's a beautiful thing. Like, if you can live your life in that space all the time, and Mel can help you do that, that's where you want to be living.
So kind of fun as well. I guess that's energy. That's the magic of life. It's the magic. It's like, oh my God, that happened again. That's so cool. Okay. Perpetual energy. And that is the law that energy doesn't die. It transmutes, it shifts, it changes. It can change form, but it does not die. It doesn't stop. It's constant. It's kind of always around us. So let me explain transforming versus transmuting. So a transformation is something like losing weight or changing our hair. It's something external from ourselves. So it's taking it from one state and making some alterations, and then you get something else. And usually we perceive it to be as a more helpful transformation, usually means something better. Transmutation is when it takes one substance and it's changed entirely to be another. So I kind of like this one because it's kind of like sparkly. A common known of substance is carbon. So pure carbon, diamonds. And if we add another ingredient, such as limestone, we get a complete contrast, which is chalk. Some would say it's transmuted, but it's actually transformed. It's transformed, but it's actually transmuted into a completely different substance. Another way is static electricity, which is a little bit more, you know, it changes into those sparks. And it's only transmuted to a zap when it comes in contact with a certain source or substance that makes us, and often us, makes it become a different form of energy. And so when we have these different kind of wave frequencies from humans, we can feel and experience different emotions. And we know that we have different emotions, different parts of our brains light up, the MRI scanner again. And so that brain is then given off different frequencies because the brain is showing up different parts of our brain lighting up. So that transmutation of a thought and firing neurons in our brain then expresses through energy. And so then that thought we have requires energy to be expressed as an emotion, energy, emotion. So we're transmuting our thoughts using energy, and we further transmute those feelings into our actions and our behaviors. So one way to explain how we can control our transmutation is the perspective we give to things, especially our emotions. So I like to use the example, if you're standing on the edge of a building looking down, you could be terrified, you could be excited, you could be like thrilled. The context changes depending on whether maybe you're tethered, whether you've got a parachute on or not, whether you've got your back wings and you're going to like Mission Impossible do a Firefox dive or whatever they're called. So it's how we interpret and express those emotions. That's how we live, and we can control them by catching our thoughts that we are transmuting into energy. And now remember, our brain can control whether we see something from a visualization point of view. So you can predict or project what could happen in the future. So most of our emotions are controlled by fears or perceptions of how this will play out. I will get judged if I do this Facebook Live, or if I say this, someone's going to think, and therefore I'm not going to do it. So all of this energy stuff plays a massive part in how we live. And then, of course, how we attract and how we create new relationships, partnerships. And of course, the most important one in business, new clients. Yes. So that's what I want to share on the second one.
So, and the third law is around the law of rhythm, isn't it, Mel? Can you explain that to the audience, please?
This is one of my favorites. So you may have heard in the personal development world, don't paddle upstream, find flow. And so this is kind of like their examples of the law of rhythm. So one of the stories I tell my clients when they're seeking outcomes or results in the future, they're, you know, living into that future instead of being a human now and appreciation for what they have created, is we're asking for something. So maybe we are doing our manifestations, we're doing our incantations, what's the other word called,
affirmations.
Thank you. Positive affirmations. So we're doing our affirmations, we're creating our vision board, we're doing all the action and creating some plans and taking some action on those plans. It's not happening. It's just not happening. When's it going to happen for me? Or we ask for a sign from universe or from God. We're like, make this happen for me and then I will believe. So the visual I create for my clients to help with this is, imagine you've got like a little ghosty version of spirit or God or universe or whatever that's your guide, that's supporting you. And you're like, can you please show me a sign? And so your little spirit guide or your alter ego or yourself or whatever you believe in is going, okay, gonna make this happen. Shit, she needs this to happen now. How are we gonna make this happen? And we put a time frame. I want this within 24 hours, universe, God. Oh, we got 24 hours on the human level. Okay, well, what it takes for spirit to align so many synchronicities to prove this thing to us sometimes is like moving heaven on earth. The amount of synchronicities that need to be lined up to drop that feather in your footpath to prove that it's true, that's my evidence. Give me a feather in my path. You got to control the weather. You got to control the animal, the bird. You got to control the way the feather lands. You got to control you. You got to make sure nobody else walks past into. All these things need to happen in order just to prove that one thing that you need to trust that what you're asking for is going to happen. The law of rhythm is everything happens when it's meant to, and it's trusting into everything that's happening is for us. Everything that is lining sliding doors in the background all needs to happen for us to be ready. Yeah, for us to do what we're meant to do when it's supposed to happen, because it's not just us. I want more clients. I want more money. Well, what does that mean for the other person who's going to be your client? Maybe they got to line some ducks up first in order for them to be ready to hear the message that you want to share or to receive the coaching that you offer. There's so much to the law of rhythm, and we kind of forget to be present and open and let it come when it's meant to come, when it's divine timing. I struggle with the word divine, but universal timing. Yes. And so
it's better, not paddling upstream. Universal timing is better.
Yeah. And not paddling upstream and trusting that it's going to come to us in the positive flow when you step into the being in positive flow. So that's my kind of take on the law of rhythm.
Yeah. Mel, we wanted to talk about how you use these concepts to help your clients. And so I wanted to dive into your six pillars of your alchemy accelerator, which is a beautiful combination of words, I have to say. and whilst you start talking about that, and again, I just want to mention that Mel particularly works with empathpreneurs, the empaths in the world, the quiet, introverted, quiet achievers of the planet. That is the beautiful, those are the beautiful types of people that she works with. While Mel starts talking about her alchemy accelerator, I'm going to get the slides ready. So over to you, Mel. We want to talk about some of the personal traits within this alchemy accelerator course. So over to you while I get this ready.
Yeah, so there's two sides of it. And the first is the, I guess, the personal traits and behaviors that's required. And the second one is more like the business requirements. So the first, I guess, aspect of my hex, or the first side of it, the right-hand side, is three stages. So I can see you're flicking over here. So just the first slide. So we've got six aspects. So you can drop down now to the first slide. Sorry, I'm looking away from the camera for a second while I'm watching to see what you're doing. So you can drop into the next slide. The next one.
Go.
No, the next one.
Next.
You've gone too far. Just the first one. We just want the first one, which is clarity. So clarity is.
And that's what I was looking for.
That's okay. So the first one is getting clear on your biggest ambitions and the blocks to achieving them. So clarity is when you know exactly what you're working on, because when you have that, the universe can be really clear around what it is. And it uses some of the other laws to attract and draw in and bring to you the synchronistic alignments when you're really clear on what you want. A scattered mind has no focus. And so then the universe doesn't know what to bring you. So having clarity and being really clear on those ambitions, it can help you to know what you're going to do each day, week, month, year, whatever you're working on. It also aligns you to your highest soul calling. Really clear on what am I here on earth to do? And stops you kind of wavering and doubting in those other laws of it doesn't matter if I believe it or not, it's going to happen because the universe will work for me. So we don't waver from those external influences. So the first pillar is clarity. And the second one is confidence. And when we embody the confidence, it's like not only do we know we're going to achieve it, but we know how to exceed, because we're so confident in what we're doing, what we're working on, where we're going. The confidence just comes, and I get hired a lot because people admire my confidence levels. So understanding that you brings you your strategic messages, it helps you create your content ecosystem. You're not constantly creating new content because you have the clarity around what it is you're supposed to be doing. You know your mind so completely, you're so confident in the decisions you make, you just know they're the right ones. And then the last and most important thing for empaths is knowing when to say no. You've got the clarity and the confidence to say no, because it doesn't align. It causes confusion with what you're working towards. So this the third one is commitment.
Now, Were you always as confident as you are now? Is that a learning journey for you around confidence?
Okay, so thank you. A little story here. You can drop it back to the visual for a sec, to me for a second. Nobody wants to just look at an empty slide. So just pop back to me. I did not always be this confident. As a young girl, I was bullied in the schoolyard. I was, as we've talked about before, sexually abused. I was somewhere between a completely broken, lost child to being an angry human. And of course, all of I understand all of that. So I would kind of like repel low vibration because I was so self-loathing of myself and my life. I was not confident. And it took until, well, I was raped when I was 18. So it was after that. So the confidence probably kicked in, actually, truthfully, probably around that time or during the rape, when I said, no more am I going to be a victim to what's happening to me. Now I see that it's happened, for me, which is a big, like a whole quantum shift. And I think the confidence truly started 6 weeks ago. Probably when I started my self-development journey. And through there, I've increased my knowledge of myself, about having clarity that I was meant to be a coach and a healer. Those two massive transitions and those paradigm shifts, they created massive amounts of confidence and complete fulfillment about who I am and what I'm here to do. So the confidence, I guess we're always growing in confidence, really. But no, I was not. Even my 30s, early 30s, I was still a bit.
I have a bit of a theory about women in their 30s. It's a very, I think that my 30s were possibly some of the most difficult years of my life. And for many women, entering the 30s is challenging, full stop. And then there's wisdom that comes in your 40s, 50s and 60s. It's really a beautiful part and time of a woman's life. So Mel, what happens when we don't balance these pillars?
Oh, we're not finished yet. So if you drop back to commitment slide.
Yes.
We're not ready to balance yet. No, we got a bit to go. So when you've got that commitment, you are feeling the energy and enthusiasm each day to fulfill yourself. So you're committed to doing what you're here to do. You're consistently showing up the way you're supposed to. You're not hustling. You don't need a hustle. You remove all the hustle and the juggling. So that's the three personal traits. And then we move round to the other side. And the first one is influence. So I'll just check you're with me on the slides there. Influence is the next one. Yeah, beautiful. And this is when you take those three traits and you show up and you share your message so that you can reach those clients to stand up for what you believe in the world. It's not about being an influencer. It's about being influential with your clients, with your social networks, wherever you show up in the world. You know, people know what you're about and what you stand for, and they also know what you stand against. You transition into the change makers and the thought leaders and making a difference in the world at a bigger level beyond just where we start with. We're not afraid of being recognized. We're not afraid of PR. We're not afraid of being rewarded or understood for all of the work that we're doing in the world. So that's influence. Then that succinctly leads into the fifth pillar, which is income. So when we've addressed all of this blocks to these other areas, the income starts to flow. We're more in line into law of reciprocity. And our earning potential goes up as our frequency goes up. So it all connects to our BS, our belief system. So we're comfortable with charging what we're worth. We're comfortable with charging all the skills, the knowledge, as you mentioned, the wisdom that we're bringing to life.
Wisdom.
Because there's effort that we have learned that we have gone through, the experiences we've lived through, in order to support others from our insights. We also then feel, comfortable being financially independent. We don't rely on others to make decisions for us and what we need to do with our income, that financial independence. And we also don't compare ourselves to others. I get a lot of people who are looking at other, whatever they do. How much are they charging?
Yes. Yes.
It's irrelevant. What do you bring? It is. What is the worth of the transformation, the impact, the changes that you make with your clients? That's what's important. Now, you can make yourself accessible with payment plans and other means of making yourself more accessible. But the price tag of what you're worth, because if we're devaluing ourselves, that vibration drops again. So it's all intertwined. And the last one is independence. When you have all of the others.
Apologies.
That's okay. So you know you have the wisdom to avoid procrastination and distraction, and you not listen to the outside influences to inform. You can use it to guide, but it doesn't make your decisions for you. You are now surrounded by like-minded people who support you, who aren't creating conflict in your mind. You're like, oh, they just disagree with me. They don't understand me. Like-minded people are what keeps our frequency high. It also provides a sounding board to allow us to keep up leveling, and it allows us to invest in ourselves and our business because we're thinking bigger. So that's the Alchemy Accelerator.
Alchemy Accelerator with its six pillars of clarity, confidence, commitment, influence, income, and independence. And once a person gets to that point, they know about their impact, and success for them is inevitable, isn't it?
Yes. So if you want to drop to the next slide, you asked me about what happens if we don't have this alignment. So when, as we've mentioned, when you've got the influence, you've got the confidence to show up and share your messages and what you stand for in the world. But if you do not, so if you have influence and income, for example, so you have, you have personal mastery and you have intuition, so you've got the income coming in, but you're not necessarily got the soul fulfillment. And you can drop to the next slide. I think I created this. So you don't have the soul fulfillment and the life balance that's required, which I term as a wealthy workaholic. So you are working your butt off, but you're making good money for it. So this is the epitome of hustling. Where's the soul fulfillment? Yes. Because you're not trusting yourself or your intuition. You're relying perhaps on external coaches or healers to guide your decision making, and you maybe spend more money, but you're not integrating it into the learning and the up leveling of yourself. So the next, if you have income and independence, but you're not making enough impact or reach on the world, you become a rich nomad. And a rich nomad is not comfortable with being influential. They're not resolving the mind webs to improve their reach, and they're allowing the fear of judgment to share their message, and it doesn't help your credibility and reach. So you become the rich nomad. I don't know where you're at with your slides. Second slide.
It's coming.
There you go. Right. And so the next category is if you have independence and you're influencing, but you don't have the income, then that equals a broke influence. So you're financially stressed or restricted. So if you're not comfortable charging your worth, you can't hire the help. And you're still working in genius zones that aren't your activities that you should not be working on because you can't afford to hire someone. You're keeping your low. Keeping your vibration low. You're in a state of worry and concern because of your income. And you're working hard and you have to hustle. No one wants to hustle. I don't believe anybody wants to hustle. But the good thing is when you have all of these areas, all three of behaviors and all three of your responsibilities, you reach into the final slide, which is making an impact. You know the right actions, you're driven by your inner wisdom, you know the greater impact, and you know it's destined to be inevitable. So that's my six pillars and what happens if you don't use them all properly.
And if they're not balanced, you don't get this same outcome. And this outcome, or if that's the right word, is actually available and achievable by all humans, isn't it?
Yeah, we're all capable of this. And what I often kind of consider and reflect on is we have millionaires who are unhappy. Whatever way they've come into their wealth, they're miserable. I'm sure we all know somebody who's wealthy, but is maybe angry or cynical, or they start losing it, they start sabotaging it. So we have different vibrations in the world of success. It doesn't mean they're personally happy with what they're doing. The study from the nurse, and her name, come to me, please. The Regrets of the Dying. Five Regrets of the Dying, I think the book is called.
She
did a study, and most of it is living a life on someone else's term. Like, I think the first couple are all about regret, about not doing what they wanted to do, not following inspiration, not telling someone they love them, like living in the fear of judgment. It makes me sad.
Yes.
Imagine living a life that way. So unfulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah. and those fundamentals are what your professional life is built around, is that your belief that humans need that balance and need all elements of that balance to live a very fulfilling and live their best life. And that impact that they create can be small or big. It doesn't have to be a massive, big, worldwide, visionary impact. It might indeed be just a small impact that has a huge ripple effect, can't it? It's very individual and unique to the person that you're working with, isn't it, Mel?
Yeah, and one of the challenges empaths, actually, I want to reflect on something you said earlier, is most empaths are the quiet achievers. They're the introverts. And I guess there's a stereotype of that being true, but I'm an extrovert. Imagine an ambivert, which is equal inward and out. I have spent a lot of time in silence, a lot, like most of the day in silence. And people are like, oh, I have to have the music on in the background. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no.
More thoughts can come through to me when I don't have something distracting me. So where I was going with that is there are so many different personality types that are empathic, that have different clair senses. And please make sure we share the clair sense
link from
last show. Because I have clients every time who review it and go, Oh, I think I have clair intelligence. You're like, oh, really? That's awesome that you've realized that. Just by reading the description, going, I just get these knowings. I don't know where they come from. Where do they go? And I can't explain it. This whole time you had a gift and you didn't know. You weren't leveraging it and you weren't amplifying it like anything going to the gym. We want to up level and tune in and build the muscle of whatever our gifts are. So to answer your point, different empaths have different ambitions. Everybody's different. Not everybody wants to be like me on not just a TEDx, but a TED stage. Now, I didn't have that ambition. I was told by universe I'm going to do that. So I'm just responding and following through on that guidance, even though it scares the Michael out of me. but some other impasse, they just want to serve like 2 clients a day or 5 a week and share their gifts and feel fulfilled, and they might not even need the income from it. And there are leaders who work in companies. They don't necessarily have to work for themselves. Impasse, walk among us in all walks of life.
Now, why did you pick empaths in the first? Was that a divinely driven choice?
No, it was.
And I know that, or a universally driven choice, a spirit choice?
Oh, well, that's a different question. I guess suppose so. So one of the things I didn't talk about was karma, and not karma, dharma. I don't know why I said karma, and knowing why we are here. And so people are looking for the deeper meaning of life, or dharma, which is a very Eastern way of looking at it. But what does that even mean? And so that sense of purpose, that deep inner knowing what we're here on earth, some people come easy to that. They know. It's like really familiar. It's like, it's just normal. And people go, you're so good at that. And you're like, am I? Really?
Think about that. Yes. Yes.
And the irony is, once you uncover your dharma or life's purpose, it is futile, pointless resisting it. Because once it's out, it's like universe is go, you know. And if you're going to resist using that and sharing that and doing that, the most fulfilling, most of the millionaires in the world recognize that the most fulfilling industry is anything that is of service to others. Now, it might be a product that enables other people to do their service. Yes. But when we are in service to humanity, life gets easier. And so there's no point. Otherwise, it just kind of keeps smashing you, keep resisting. And it's just like, why is life so hard? Because you're not living into your purpose that you actually kind of
know, listening.
Ignoring. Yeah. So did I know? Well, I got the message midway through my own healing journey. So I've been on a healing journey. Uh-huh. I've lost track of the years, somewhere 18-ish, 19 years.
Yes.
Yes. And I got my insight about 5 years in during a meditation. And the message was to share my wisdom. Now, I was still going through the midst of my healing, my trauma, my sexual abuse. So I did not feel wise. I still felt very broken. And so to get this message of sharing your wisdom was like, me?
No, yeah, I'm, right.
You're my coach. You're the wise one. I know. Mm. Now, when I look at everybody has wisdom for people who are behind them on their journey, who've walked similar paths as you, and are just kind of timeline behind where you are in your journey, we can always help and support somebody else who's kind of following on the same path as us. So I got that message to share my wisdom. And now I know my wisdom is how to find love despite hardship. How can I love and adore men when the first 2 or 3 men, major role models in my life, completely took advantage of me as a female, me as a young woman, completely took advantage of that. Why do I still? I was a dating coach for men. I'm like a big advocate for men and the sensitivities they have. So now I know my journey is to teach how to have love, no matter what your upbringing. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, that does. The other thing that I was going to make very clear to the audience that the gifts, the wisdom, the knowledge that you have is very special. And so from my perspective, I can't talk about what Mel talks about in the same way that Mel does. So for people across the planet, their messages, solutions, healing, knowledge can only come from Mel. So if Mel keeps herself small and doesn't strive to make that impact, there will be people out there that never get their message because they can only hear it from Mel. So that's one of my ideas around the interconnectedness of humanity and the fact that there are many of us that are given gifts or knowledge or wisdom, and it's our job to share that and keep sharing that and keep helping other humans on their journey and path. And Mel, I had an interview earlier this morning with a gentleman talking about the rise of consciousness, and all of what you coach and mentor on is about up-leveling our lives, up-leveling our wisdom, up-leveling our knowledge, our understanding. And you've just put it into an easily understandable formula with your pillars and your programs. And that's what sits behind the Alchemy Accelerator, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I guess I want to echo what you're saying is, I don't think I have answers for everyone, not at all. I know that's not what you said, but to kind of phrase it in a different way is, there's always someone who's ready in the world to hear what you have to say. And each of us has a
message.
That's
a better explanation.
That's okay. That's meant to be heard and by you. And so what's more important is not you sharing the message, but you recognizing who are you not to share your message. Whatever hardships you've been through, there is someone else who is going through what you have gone through. And if we can serve one person, I remember reading a magazine article from Cosmo or something when magazines were, you know, still a thing. And I remember thinking it was about abuse. I think it was something more heavy like child trafficking. But I remember reading it very, very early on, like in my early to mid 20s, going, I want to write an article like that one day, because this has just really resonated that there is hope. I will get through this. And I have a responsibility to share
the word
that you don't have to stay here. What you've experienced in your past or what you're going through now does not define you as a person for your future. My past doesn't even equal my current. I am rather bizarrely grateful for all of my hardships. It has taught me some things that other people need to understand, not my perspective, but how I got through from a different perspective, how to help them find an alternative view of the shit that they're going through. And we all have an obligation to share that stuff from our own unique point of view.
Absolutely. That point you said about hope. For myself, there were moments that were so dark and so black that all I wanted was a glimmer of hope that the next day would be better or the next year would be better. And I know from my personal perspective that drives a lot of what I do and am involved in now, because if I help people like Mel heal more people across the world and give them hope, I agree with you, Mel. There's a feeling of responsibility, like you just can't not speak out, that you just can't not help people. And the beautiful bit about you and your business is that you've set it out in a way that is so crystal clear and easily understood. Because some of these concepts, when you're talking about universal laws, they can be difficult to grasp and understand, particularly if you've not been exposed to that level of consciousness or understanding before. But for you, Mel, it's so beautifully, simply explained. And the love that you share with your clients and the way that you coach is just like, I'd best describe it as a beautiful, warm, energetic hug. is how you describe Mel. And that's not to say that she's not going to be tough, because I'm pretty sure you know how to be tough and challenging when you need to be. And some of us need that at times. Sometimes you need someone to give you the proverbial boot up the butt and remind you what life is about and what's important and why you need to heal and why you need to live your best life. Now, this is getting towards the end of our third show. I want to share with the audience what we're going to be talking about in the fourth show, which is around the quantum shift. Can you explain, please?
Well, we're going to talk about continuous transformation and how we can keep up-leveling and what those frequencies are of the consciousness scale. We're also going to talk about how you can use, now I didn't really adopt this into my business until about 2 years ago, but color frequencies. And so I'm going to talk about the different ways that we can use color to, for all its myriad, but also what the colors mean on a spiritual level. And I'm not just talking like purple is royal. I'm talking about what you can use the color for to kind of increase a frequency.
Yes, the power of has a vibration and an energy, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Color has a vibration and energy. That's really important to understand.
Even to the point where your affirmations, if you print them in a different color, depending on which one it is, they can actually just add a little edge. Or you put them in a different color of the feng shui palette on your board, put them in a different place, just amplifies it that little bit further. So we're definitely going to be talking about that. And there was something else. I'm seeing the notes and I'm going, no, I changed it. And I can't remember what it was.
Was it around meditation?
Give me a second. Well, I was thinking of doing a meditation. Give me a second. I'm just going to open up.
Yes.
I've got my fourth show notes drafting. So what I was wondering,
and
I was
power in meditation and power in changing mindset that's related to meditation, and even hypnosis has incredible power to help you shift and manage mindset on an ongoing basis, besides all the other good things that meditation does for you. But in my notes, you've got the stages of empathpreneurship.
Oh, that's it. That's what it was. Yeah. Thank you. I was looking there. Sorry, I was getting distracted. The different stages of our frequency and how you can identify like the four segments of where you might be in empathpreneurship. Thank you for reminding me there.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. And some of the different, I guess, indicators of what they can be in. Perfect for anybody who's in an industry of service, customer service, any way that you show up and support others, particularly if you're a sole trader or you have a small business and you're the leader of that, identify the different traits, behaviors, ways you can assess where you are in the empathpreneurship scale, as well as consciousness scale.
Fantastic. Mel, it has been another amazing show. I just want to remind the audience where they can connect with you, your website. And today in particular, we've talked about the Alchemy Accelerator. Now, if you're thinking that you want to level up in 2022, now's the time to connect with Mel and have a chat about what that looks like, how you help, how you mentor, and the different programs. We've just spoken about Alchemy Accelerator, but you have other programs that may be more appropriate to individuals. So how can people connect with you, Mel?
Okay, so first, the Alchemy Accelerator is integrated into all of my programs on different levels.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So it just depends on how long you want to work with someone. What is it we're working on defines which program best suits you. So there's a couple of ways you can, and my assistant will be get it right. She's probably going to be laughing at me. The best way to find anything is on my website, melb.com. From there, You can go to resources. There's free resources on my website.
There is.
There's also different ways of connecting with me. So on the contact page, mm-hmm. there's a link to all of my social channels.
All
That's so much
social.
Easier. Because in on my contact page is actually a link and it goes brrr, and you can access all of them. So much easier than
pick
me trying
one
to remember
you like.
All my different handles. Yes.
Pick your genre. Be it Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, whichever one you like,
yeah.
Mel has connections on there. And it's Mel B with a double L. Don't get it confused with the other Mel because she won't help you at all. Well, sorry, she may help you, but she won't help you as much as our Mel B with a double L. So Mel with a double L B.com. Jump on and have a look. It's a beautiful website. I have to say it's a beautiful website and you will love poking around and exploring that website just for the information that's already on there. Now, Mel, we are out of time. I can't wait for next show where we will talk about the quantum shift, including color frequencies, stages of empathpreneurship. It will be an amazing show, our last for 2022, and we will return in January, 21. We will return in January 2022 with another amazing series from Mel B. Mel, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a divine pleasure to co-host this show with you, and I look forward to our next show next week. Thanks, Mel.
Thanks.
Okay, and we will see you all next week. Don't forget to tune in. And if you subscribe to YouTube, you'll get notification when we're going live with Mel B next week. So that's your lot for this week. You'll have to join us next week on Mel B and Unwavering Success. Bye for now, everyone. Bye, Mel.